This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Cruise. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today we are going to be discussing the 2025 Winona Steamboat Days and why it's not at the lake anymore, because that has been an age-old question. But I am joined here today with the president of the Winona Steamboat Days Committee, Stephen Sheehan. Thank you for coming on in and joining me and taking a little bit of time out of your day before a busy week ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, an honor even. Your podcast is blowing up, and I'm glad to see it keep blowing up, and I'm glad you keep, you know, the community as a focal point of it all.
Well, I appreciate you coming on in here, and I know you got a busy week ahead coming up. Last year, I had Fred Benning on. He came in and talked a little bit about the car show. But this year, I have you coming in as the president, newly elected, you said.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to discuss all the fun activities that are coming up, and then the age-old question of why it's not at the lake. But before we get into that, how did you get involved with the Steamboat Days Committee anyways?
So I originally started out as, you know, doing security. You know,
okay.
At the time where I was working, my like immediate supervisor was a board member, and she had reached out to me. She's like, hey, you want to get paid to, you know, do security down at Steamboat Days? And I was like, sure, why not? And just doing security, like, I just saw them, like, you know, like the other board members running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And I'm like, do you guys need more help instead of me just like standing around pretending I look tough, you know? So like I started helping, and then like the next year they're like, hey, do you want to come help with like setup and tear down? And because I just kept showing up to things and helping with things, they're like, hey, do you want to be on the board? I was like, sure. And then got voted onto the board, and then the very next year they decided to make me VP because I'm, you know, dependable, and, you know, did that for 2 years, and now I'm president.
Yeah. So I assume the president, there's got to be a ton of things that go into this, or do you delegate a lot of it? You guys have this, you have that. How does that all work anyways? I feel like there's just so much that goes into this.
Yeah, so pretty much every element of Steamboat Days, from like even just like the button design contest,
yep,
to, you know, ads, and like, you know, working with the city to like, you know, facilitate the, you know, road closures and stuff like that. Like every element of it has like a subcommittee. And so like board members will be sitting on multiple subcommittees. And then we have like our volunteers that aren't like really part of the board. They really only help with like those specific things.
Sure.
So the job of the president is to sign all the contracts, be the face and the voice of Steamboat Days, and make sure everyone's getting things done in a timely manner, and, you know, just kind of coordinating with everyone.
Sure.
You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, last year I helped out with the car show. I was one of the judges, and we had a whole separate meeting just for that. I didn't even know what it entailed. All I knew is I was judging cars, but I wanted to go to the meeting, and that's a whole subcommittee, I assume, on the,
yep,
side of that, and that's always my favorite thing to go to.
Yep.
But I want to go off the design of the button this year. I think it looks really cool, and I want to know, who is designing the button? Is it you, or is there a contest?
Yeah, it's a contest. We throw it out to the schools in the area. This year it was a Winona Senior High student, Zaya, Can't remember her last name. And it's funny too, because her sister actually won the button design contest a few years ago, 2021.
Okay.
Maybe earlier than that. Sure. Yeah, I think 2021. Her sister had won the contest. So it's starting to run in the family there. And I'm guess. Like, all right, your guys' next generation better be winning the contest. But yeah, we put it out to, Cotter, Winona, Senior High, Winona Middle School. So middle school on up through high school, we put it out to the schools. And, you know, we set a couple parameters, like three colors. We tell them, like, if there's a theme for the year, like, try to include certain elements of, like, the carnival, the festival, Winona, yada, yada, yada. And then the kids send in their, you know, designs. And then the button committee, like, narrows it down to, like, top like five.
Sure.
They bring that to the rest of the board, and then the board votes on the design. No idea who designed what.
So the names are anonymous then?
Yep. Awesome. Only the button committee knows. And which is a good thing, because the young lady that got second place is actually the daughter of a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah. So had I known, you know,
you never know. That could swing your bias one way. Yeah. For sure.
So that's why the button committee keeps it anonymous.
Good idea.
But then, the first place, you know, whoever wins the contest, we throw them, a little bit of prizes, some gift cards and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And, that's cool that you set out those parameters, because I had no idea. I just saw this is who won this year. I'm like, oh, it looks nice. And this year's is actually really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing it. If you're not watching, actually, Steven's wearing it on his chest right now, but it does follow that three-color parameter. I'm looking at, like, a purple-pink, like a gold, and then maybe if you consider the black another color. I don't know if you consider that a color or shade. Yeah. So it looks really nice, though. And so you can buy those, and that gets you into what then? What does that get you into?
So other than, like, if you go buy the full button card, you know, there's the button card drawing. So, okay. Like, there's prizes you can win off of that. Also, the only thing that the button is really needed to get into is the entertainment card in.
Okay.
We don't want to, like, restrict access to entertainment too much. You know, like,
sure.
You know, putting the button on the entertainment garden is just, you know, a little bit of revenue to help make sure we are able to cover our expenses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, for, I mean, with shot distribution, they're our supplier for, adult beverages. They tell us, like, all these other festivals that they distribute to are increasing their ticket prices. We're still, like, one of the lowest ticket prices for drinks. So, to cover all the expenses, because, I mean, like, you know, the bands, each band is, like, $20,000.
Whoa!
Like, on the average. Some bands are more, some bands are a little less.
That's just, that's a big number. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the lights, sound, stage, the tent. The tent is, you know, like, $40,000. If we wind up getting completely rained out, that's, you know, well over $100,000 just down the drain. Yeah.
So you still have to pay the band.
Yep.
And now, you know, I love where it's at right now, and some people are going to disagree with me on that, but I love that you have it on that new platform down by the levee where the Wilkie used to be back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because it's clean.
Yep.
You have the tent that's pretty much covered the stage, so you shouldn't have to worry about a rainout anymore, which is fantastic. So that does kind of cover your butt on, we can cram as many people under here as we can possible.
Well, the problem with, like, getting rained out is more of, like, lightning strikes and the sound and light equipment, sure. So that's where, like, are we going to get rained out? You know, like, if we have to shut down early, boot everyone out. It's not really so much the rain, it's lightning.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And now there's other things that are on top of that. There's also a harbor master. Who's this year's harbor master?
Pat, can't think of her last name. For your listeners and viewers, she ran Visit Winona for a long time. And she recently retired from that. And we just capped her a couple weeks ago over at Blooming Grounds. First thing I said to her after we capped her, I'm like, no, you'll never be rid of us. she had a laugh at that.
Is the visit the Winona? The visit Winona, is that the information booth you're talking about? Okay, so that's right on Huff Street for those who are listening. And this is obviously for this week's podcast episode. It's a very local one, and that's great because this is always a fun week for a lot of people on so many events. So she ran that as well. And then how does someone get chosen for Harbor Master? Does someone say, hey, this, we have a committee that says this would be a good idea, that would be a good idea, or does someone have to nominate them?
Yeah, so they're nominated by past Harbor Masters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like the past Harbor Masters get together, they'll throw out a nomination, and then they discuss it, and so the Harbor Masters come to the decision of who's going to be the next Harbor Master. I'm sure Fred brought up the fact that he's a past Harbor Master.
Oh, last year. Well, I knew that already too.
Yep.
Well, you guys can always throw my name in there, wink. So, okay, now I want to go over these events because you gave me a list of events, but there's way more than what you gave me. And I know that because I looked at the website and there's literally something going from pretty much this coming weekend, which is the Big Cup tournament.
Yep.
All the way till next, I would say Sunday night when I think the fireworks is the last thing. Is that correct?
The fireworks and drone light show. So this year and next year, we actually booked this company called Aerial Illumination. They had an exclusive contract with Disney or Universal Studio, one of the two,
for
years. Their contract finally expired, so they were finally able to branch out. They have locations all over the country. They have one up in Shakopee. And so, like, they reached out to us, and we were like, oh, yes. So we have a 15-minute 300-drone light show just before the fireworks.
So, and these are all separate drones.
Yep.
Wow. That's a bit, so, okay, the fireworks are usually 10, is that correct?
Yep.
And so this will be at about 9:45?
Yep.
Wow, that'll be really cool. That'll be a first time, right?
Yep, it will be the first time. We got them booked for this year and next year.
Cool.
Yeah, 2-year contract. And if it's as good as we think it's going to be, and the people like it as much as we hope they like it, we're definitely going to keep doing it. And right there, that's another
high dollar.
Yeah, six digit,
Woo!
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So it's...
Hopefully it's worth it.
Yeah.
So what happens if it rains then? Can they still do it?
So if it rains, if it's raining enough that we can't do the drone show, we probably can't do the fireworks show.
Sure.
So Monday night is our makeup night for the drones and the fireworks. And if we wind up going into the Monday makeup night, the carnival will stick around and run Monday as well.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go under to the beverage garden because there's a whole nother slew of things that happen just there. And when's the first band? Is it Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
Okay, who's on Wednesday?
Johnny Holm.
Johnny Holm, he's been on Wednesday, hasn't he, for the longest time? Or was he on Thursdays before?
He was on Thursdays. Okay. Last year, we switched him to Wednesday at his request. Well, his manager's request.
Okay.
Because they had some big show that they really, really, really were looking forward to. But because we have a contract with them, they're like if you guys want us to do Thursday, we'll do Thursday. It's in the contract. But we'd really appreciate it if you could, make this accommodation for us. And we're like, yes, of course. And last year, because of Johnny Holm, it wound up being our best Wednesday ever in forever.
Sure.
Because he brings in the crowd. Yeah. So that's why we're doing him on Wednesday. Because, otherwise, 2 years ago, we had Ladies of the 80s on Wednesday night. And I thought they had a fantastic set. They were excellent entertainers. But by, 9:30, the crowd died down to, 10 people.
Really?
And I felt so bad for them. Because they were only, an hour and a half into their set. And they were playing to a crowd of 20 people. And,
oh no!
Yeah. So when we had Johnny Holm on Wednesday last year, we were pretty full up until we closed.
Sure.
Johnny Holm. As long as we have that contract going with the Johnny Holm band, going to be a Wednesday night thing.
If you had him on the weekend, would it be really expensive then? Or is it based on you guys having, because you want to kick off the week on a high note?
Yeah, we, so with the weekend, you know, because we've been working with Hurry Back Production.
Okay.
You know, huge, huge sponsor for, you know, for everything. You know, I mean, their primary focus is, of course, the entertainment garden. But like last year and this year, we just worked with them directly to help book the bands for us.
Okay.
So Mike Sloggy of Hurry Back Productions comes to us with a list of bands that he thinks would be really, really good.
Okay.
And he just ignores Wednesday because, you know, that's going to be Johnny Holmes night.
Sure.
And like he initially thought that we were only going to have him like work with us for like Friday and Saturday night. And we're like, no, with Thursday night too. And he's like, oh, great. Perfect. Fantastic. So like, you know, and it's kind of, and it's a really nice thing that we're working with him for like, you know, the booking of it. Cause it kind of feels for like his people, they don't have to do too much work other than the booking, you know, sure. Otherwise everything else is on us.
Okay.
And so, you know, they look at it as a, like a kind of a, easy let in to the Highway 61 concert series that launches off in, you know, like end of fall, beginning of winter.
Okay.
And of course, check out the Highway 61 concert series, everyone. Fantastic shows. I mean, like last year we had the Fabulous Armadillos on Saturday night, kind of got rained out a bit, which was let down. But they wound up coming back to Winona for the Highway 61 concert series.
Oh, so people got to see them then at least.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what do you have on Thursday coming then?
Thursday night, we have Mallrats. There was a couple different options that we had for Thursday night. And I really pushed for Mallrats. And our current vice president of the Entertainment Garden agreed with me. So Mallrats is 90s alternative rock.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of those like one hit wonders of the 90s.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, because, you know, I grew up in the 90s, you know.
So did I.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's the nostalgia that I want, because, like, you know, with all the 80s cover bands out there, no offense to Arch Allies, who we have playing Saturday night, you know, they're kind of a dime a dozen, and sure. Like the crowd that they're nostalgic, the nostalgia for, they're, you know, they're aging out.
That is true.
Yeah.
Gotta think about your crowd coming in next.
Yep.
That's right.
And it's, you know, like our generation, that is resonates more with the 90s.
Yeah.
We still love the 80s. The 80s was great era of music.
I still love the 90s more.
Yeah.
I still love the 90s more.
Yeah.
You used to have my uncle's band, Hair Metal Radio. They used to come in, and they're no longer around anymore. But I want to go off of the Mallrats. And you said there's like 90s one-hit wonder song. What are some of your favorite songs from the 90s? I want to ask that now.
Oh, boy. Okay. I mean, like pretty much anything grunge. I mean, Alice in Chains is probably my favorite 90s, you know, grunge band.
Okay.
You know, everyone like, oh, Kurt Cobain or Nirvana. I'm like, Kurt, brilliant songwriter, brilliant performer. But I think Nirvana, like, just because they kind of like made the grunge scene explode, that's why they get all the hype. Sure. But I'm like, come on, Alice in Chains, you know, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Soundgarden wasn't part of the Seattle scene so much, but, you know, they're
sure.
There. But otherwise, I mean, like, man, Eve 6?
Oh, yeah, Eve 6.
Yeah.
They had, like, fly on their first cover.
Yep,
I remember
yep,
that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, I can almost remember the lyrics to that song, like word for word. Like as soon as I hear it, like the words just come back to
sure.
me. But you know, like the Verve, you know, like you yeah. know all those like one hit wonder bands. Yep.
Yep. That'll be a fun time. I've never yeah. heard a 90s cover band yet.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
And here's the thing. They were in Highway 61 concert series last year.
Okay.
And like that was the one concert I really wanted to go to for the Highway 61 concert series. But I just missed my opportunity. Like I wound up just being overbooked.
Not this year.
Not this year. I get to see them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So what do we got going then for Friday night?
So Friday night, in addition to the headline act, because like Friday night just kind of like turned into like a patriotism day, we have the Marine Reserve Band.
Oh, sweet.
For those of you that checked them out two years ago, So like there's a couple different bands going on. So they have their brass band, they have their marching band, and they have a rock band. So 2 years ago, we had their rock band just kill it on stage up at the Entertainment Garden. They were covering like 80s stuff, some 90s stuff, and like all rock music. And their singer, I think she was Sergeant, in the Marine Reserves. She killed it. I mean, like, she worked that crowd like it was, you know, like just an everyday thing for her. I mean, she was into it. I mean, she was like rocking around, you know, like dropping down and, you know, shaking her shoulders, doing excellent frontman stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So like we're having the Marine Reserve rock band rocking on stage just before Mason-Dixon Line. Takes the stage.
Yep. They've been here multiple times, right?
Yep, we had them last year on Friday night as well. As soon as we were given the option of Mason-Dixon Line, I'm like, well, we're gonna have them on Friday night because, you know, country always kills on Friday night. And then I was like, and that's also the night we're looking at doing the Marine Reserve Band. Yes, just perfect.
Kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah,
right?
Just perfect fix. You know,
absolutely. And then what do we got for Saturday then? For Saturday Arch band. Allies. Arch Allies. Okay, I'm looking. So if you guys are wondering where the events that you can look this up, and I'll put it in the show notes. It's WinonaSteamboatDays.com. Very obviously, very simple website to go to. I'll plug it in the show notes. You can just scroll down, click on it. But if you're wondering where all these events are located, you just go right on their website. And I'm looking at it right now. Arch Allies, 8:30 to 12 a.m.
Yep.
Is that when the tent closes, roughly 12 a.m., or do you just close it down and then kind of 12:30, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, like around 12:30 is when we really start pushing people out.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, like 12 o'clock is the, like, official end time, but come on, encore, you know.
Of course.
If the crowd's not chanting one more song, then we probably didn't do well in sales.
Do you have anything going on Sunday night at the beer tent then?
No.
Nope, nothing? Okay. Band, right?
No band.
But you can go still there and use your tickets or whatever you got left? Or?
Nope. The tent is completely closed down Sunday night.
Sunday night? It's all closed completely?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. So Saturday is really the last official day.
Yep.
So use your beer tickets up.
Yep. Yeah, and sorry, guys, you can't use last year's tickets.
Hopefully you weren't saving those.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I love, though, is now the Beverage Garden has IPA beers. I love that because I'm an IPA fan, as most people know. Yep. It's great to have a Busch Light here and there, but that was pretty much all it was back in the day. It's like, pour it from the tap. Here's a big jug of beer.
Yep.
Go have fun. But now I like it that you get, you can usually get like Furious or Surly, Furious and stuff like that. It's really nice to have a wide variety. Plus, you have like White Claw type drinks as well, I noticed. And obviously, get your waters and stuff of that nature.
Yep. Yep. So thanks to sponsorship from Coca-Cola, that's, you know, we have Coca-Cola products.
Okay.
Monster, Coke, Dasani for, you know, the water drinkers.
Yeah.
We always do have Budweiser NA for the people that still like the taste, but, you know.
Or they're just the DA or
yep.
DD.
Yep. No more Jello shots. Sorry, guys.
There was Jello shots before?
Yeah, we had Jello shots.
Oh, I must not have made it for that night.
Yeah. They usually do sell out.
I bet.
Yeah. So we've always prided ourselves on our wide selection of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we switched to cans, we've been trying to keep our, you know, list extensive. And we try to switch things out. So we work with shot real close with like, hey, what's hot right now? Let's have that.
Okay.
We recently were able to start doing, you know, the like vodka seltzers and stuff like that.
Yep.
Because like before it all had to be like grain based, beer based for the drinks.
Okay.
But like we were able to get into, you know, the alcohol based, lighter drinks. There's still the push for like, hey, THC drinks are now a thing, but we're holding off on that until like the community is more supportive of it.
So yep. You said was there a reason why it was more grain based, you said, or was that just
licensing?
Licensing. Okay. Yeah. So for those who are wondering, licensing comes into play. And I think that's a lot of things that people don't understand. There's a lot of behind the scene things of, well, how come we don't have this? How come we don't have that? Well, licenses are huge.
Yep. Licensing, just part of our city agreement, our insurance plays into it. So there's a lot of factors. Like we're never going to be like doing like, oh, here's rail shots for you guys, you know, line sure. them up. We won't be able to do that forever. We probably won't do it even if we were given the opportunity.
I feel like that might come into problem legal wise when people leave.
Well now
let's go over some of the family friendly things that are going on. This is, we just went over one part of it. That was just the beverage garden. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of family aspect to this, of this week that happened. So what are some of the family highlight activities that are going on throughout the week that you could highlight?
So Dangerous Feats of Comedy. We've had them the last 2 years. We have them coming back this year due to popular demand, not only from, you know, the people of Winona, but the board. Like as soon as we started talking about what entertainment acts we're going to book for the year, everyone just turned to me and like, Steven, we're getting Dangerous Feats again, right? I'm like, yes, you know, I guess, you know, I really don't like, I, Nick and Dallas, it's also known as the Nick and Dallas Show. Father son duo, doing, you know, comedy stunts. You know, Nick's famous for his escape jacket, straight jacket escape act, wrapped up in chain. I even told them about Peerless Chain last year when they were here. I'm like, hey, if you guys need more chain, you know, Peerless Chain right here, you know. Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah.
Start where their chain's from. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now, I there's too many days and times to remember, but if you're looking to figure out when this is, go on the website. You go down to the Dangerous Feats of Act comedy show, and it shows the list of times and dates because they're here for 4 days, but there's multiple times. And if I remember right, they were performing at the car show last year.
Yes, and they're going to be doing it again this year.
It looks like about 1:20 in the afternoon.
Yep. What I really like about Dangerous Feats is they're street performers. So they're kind of like can pop up anywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're doing 3 shows a day starting Thursday.
Yep.
And so they will be doing shows on Sunday because we got the carnival going on Sunday. And then alongside them is the Unicycling Unicorn. He's from Minnesota. He had reached out to some other event here in town. And it just got passed over to us. And so I reached out to him and like tried to get him last year, but he was pretty booked up.
The unicycling unicorn.
Yes. So he has like a 12-foot like unicycle that he'll like be on, and he'll be juggling stuff. Like he even juggles his phone, you know, to like show that he's confident in his juggling.
Wow.
And he's actually worked with Nick and Dallas of Dangerous Feats before. So I was just like, oh, this is perfect. Have them like play back to back. So like wherever Dangerous Feats is, the unicorn is going to be right there just before they go on. So their shows are back to back in the exact same location.
They're, and yeah, it looks like they are performing 3 times a day from Thursday to Sunday.
Yep.
Again, go on the website, go down to the Unicycling Unicorn. Yes, that is a thing. And you can see what times they'll be performing at. However, you got to find the location.
Yeah. So for the locations, just because of the construction, everyone's been talking about the construction.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, like I was like, I don't know exactly where they're going to be. Plus, it also depends on how the carnival sets up. Sure. That's why, like on our website, I said, stay tuned to like check out our Facebook page for exact details.
Oh, it does say that. Follow our Facebook page for exact location. So go follow the Winona Steamboat Days Facebook too.
Yep.
I'll plug that in the show notes too for everyone.
Yeah. When our button card went out, because it has the list of events on the button card, and it's also on the Winona post, we just put generic Carnival East, Carnival West. The Carnival West would be more towards Main Street. Carnival East would be more towards Lafayette.
Okay.
So like they're going to be in those general areas. So like it's not going to be hard to find them, especially with Dallas with his, you know, whistling and his torch carrying.
Sure.
And you know, Jamie, the unicycling unicorn, being on a 12-foot tall unicycle dressed like a unicorn, pretty hard to miss those guys.
I suppose so. You know,
So I'll get the exact street location thrown up on our Facebook page. By the way, I kind of do our Facebook page and our website.
That's part of the president's job. Huh?
No, that was my job coming onto the board. Cause that was one of the selling points for me, I guess, was like, oh, Steven's tech savvy. I'm like,
oh gosh. Yeah. I know how that goes too. Cause I was that as a teacher, I was that as well.
Yeah.
How does this work? I'm like, oh man, I don't even know half of it. Yeah. But I did notice, I feel like there was an old Winona Steamboat Days page and now there's a newer one. I don't know if that was true, but the newer one is way more updated if that was the case, because I've checked on it multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, like we're still using old website coding, because the website's a holdover.
Okay.
But I've tried to freshen it up as much as I can.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm not a website designer, but so
I just use GoDaddy for our real estate one. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm typing in like the coding and stuff like that. So like I'm kind of playing this by ear, you know. But I
think you're going to be president for a while, if that's the case, because if you know how to code somewhat.
Yeah.
So then I also see there's some other kids stuff. There's a fishing contest.
Yep.
There's the kitty parade. I remember that when I was a kid. That used to be right down by the lake. Is that still where it's at?
Yep, it's still going to be down at the lake.
So you can still go to the lake, everyone, in case you're wondering. For Steamboat Days, there's still the kitty parade down there, for sure.
Sorry about the name. I the name's kind of cringe to me. Kitty parade, come on.
Well, it's been around long enough that we all know what it is. I can understand it is kind of cringy, but there's a fishing contest as well.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. Now, I don't remember a fishing contest when I was younger, that is. Not that I was into fishing, but what's the contest consist of then?
I don't involve myself too much with the kids fishing contest. It's been going on for a few years now.
Sure.
Dave Polk has been like the main board member that's been running it.
Sure.
So I don't know like what the like parameters are. Like I know he breaks it up into like age groups.
Sure, sure.
And like there's like certain sizes. Yeah, of you're fish, right. You know.
So I guess people that want to know what the rules are and the ages, just go on Winona Steamboat Days and click on the kids fishing contest. Anywhere from 2 to 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big age range. But it does say all fish must be caught, checked on the day of the event, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in order to qualify for the contest. Each fish category will have a first, second, third place boy and girl winners based off of overall weight of the fish. In addition to the first, second, third place winners in each fish category, there will be one overall winner for the biggest fish caught based off of weight. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on here. This is fun.
Yep. Yeah, and we supply everything. Yep. The fishing poles are donated from various people. And we get volunteers that like bring in like, you know, the bait and tackle and help the kids with like the fishing. So like we're not like putting them out on a boat and like, good luck, kid, come back in like a couple hours.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but, you know,
good luck,
safety things and, you know, like all that. But it's just down at the lake there, like right off that little dock, you know, right by the Visit Winona Center. There's tons of kids that show up for that. We used to do a tractor pedal pole
thing. I remember that. Yeah.
Yep. We weren't able to get it secured this year. The guy that does it, we weren't able to do anything with him this year. And he wasn't able, like, he wound up having an emergency last year, so he wasn't able to do it last year. So that's kind of a dud for now. But we're going to try to look to do something else. The biggest problem is we need more manpower.
You know. So need more volunteers, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And can you go on the website and sign up to volunteer, or
is
going to get a hold of you?
So on our website page, like we have a contact page, but we also have like a volunteer sign up page.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys, but bartenders are an invite only thing. We work with like some of our bigger sponsors, and they send in like, you know, their crew. That's why like Merchants Bank is there like every year. Hy-Vee's there every year. The firefighters are there every year. You know, we work with organizations and we invite them to, you know, send crew, staff, employees, whatever.
Yep, and I know some of them too.
Yep, to volunteer bartend. So for people signing up to be volunteers, because most of you have been signing up as bartenders. Hey, I'd love to bartend. No, sorry. We need general labor.
General labor. Yep. All right. That's one thing. So you can contact them. One of the other things I was going to ask about, and I know Fred kind of touched on this last year, was the, now it's the Miss Steamboat Days pageant. Is that correct? Not Miss Winona anymore?
Well, it's Miss Winona Steamboat Days.
Okay. Now, yep. That's still going on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Did the contest already happen for this year?
No. So we will be crowning the new Miss Winona Steamboat Days on Wednesday. So we have our cap and crown ceremony. There should have already been a Facebook post about it. I scheduled it. I just don't remember when. Sure. I scheduled it for. So that's going to be Wednesday at like 5:00. We're going to have the new Miss Winona crowned. So previous Miss Winona, Brianna Jones, will be on stage along with our current harbor master, Pat. Can't remember her last name. Sorry, Pat. They'll be up on stage. We'll have all the contestants up on stage. I forget how many contestants we wound up getting.
It says you guys max out of 10.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we got all 10.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's great, because I remember it was kind of getting slower at one point, and then it's ramped up again. So that's good, because here's the reason I know so much about it is because my mom and dad were auditors when I was in middle school. Then my dad emceed a couple of years and then audited again, and then kind of some other people took over. So I remember when I used to be at the senior high, then it kind of turned over to the Winona Middle School. Is it still at the middle school, or is it somewhere else nowadays, the contest?
So how the competition actually works, because it's we wanted to get away from the beauty pageant element of, know, like the Miss America program. So instead it's more, so the contestants first submit an essay. Okay. Like why they think they should be Miss Winona Steamboat Days. And because like before with like the old partnership with the Miss America program, it was open up to anyone that was like living in Winona. So we had a lot of college students that like weren't from Winona but are here, you know, going to WSU, St. Mary's.
Yep, that's exactly how I remember it.
Yep. So we got rid of that. You have to actually like be enrolled in one of the schools here and be essentially a Winona native. It's not exclusive to just the city of Winona. It's the Winona school district. We've expanded it out to be a little more encompassing of like the community.
Sure.
And that's the biggest highlight is like, you know, like what about the Winona community inspires you to like, you know, want to be involved in, you know, the Miss Winona Steamboat Days. Competition. And then like, so after they submit their essay, we have a panel of judges, that's selected by our Miss Winona Steamboat Days committee. Mouthful. and then they do like a mock interview. So they ask of the questions what do you bring to the community? What do you love about the community? You know, like, why should we select you? You know, so we've thrown out, you know, the beauty pageant of it, and it's more community driven.
Okay.
And this model was actually brought up by a former Miss Winona, Michaela Moore. It was actually her idea to make it more of like, a job interview kind of thing, like sure. More community driven. So it was really Michaela that really got the program going the way it is now. So we're like, it's no longer part of the Miss America program. We do set aside funds so that, like, if the Miss Winona Steamboat Days does want to run for Miss Minnesota, Miss America, like, we'll foot the bill so she can go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know where the actual judging and the interviewing goes on.
Okay.
It might be at the middle school.
It's a whole other subcommittee that you're not part of.
Yeah. I like it's being done. Okay, we got people signing up for it. Okay, hey Steven, you need to make Facebook posts. Okay, I got
perfect
it.
Perfect. You know? You couldn't be involved in everything. Yep. That'd be impossible. Yep. And I'm looking at some of the criteria. You got to be age of 17 to 22, and then you're gonna. It says that this year's Miss Winona Steamboat Days will receive a $3,500 scholarship in addition to attending several celebrity events during the Steamboat Days week, including autograph signing. I remember them at the car show last year with Miss Minnesota, which you said she's also coming again this year.
Yep.
That'll be a really cool thing. And then there's just other things that they get to be part of, which sounds fun to me. It sounds like a local celebrity.
Yep.
And then again, I want to go back off of that. You said Miss America's gonna, or Miss Minnesota?
Miss Minnesota and Miss America.
Holy smokes. Yep.
We got Miss America coming again this year. Thanks to Merchants Bank for sponsoring that.
That's awesome. Yep. Where can you find those people? Will they just be randomly around, just autographs, signing, or pictures
so,
and all
so,
that?
So Miss Minnesota and Miss America are going to be posted up on the corner right outside of Merchants Bank.
Just like last year.
Year doing the signing.
Easy.
Whereas Miss Winona Steamboat Days, Princess of the Port Watch and Princess of the Starboard Watch are the two runner-ups for the Miss Winona Steamboat Days.
I love contest. Those titles. That's great.
Those were two old titles from like back in the day, and they just kind of like killed them for whatever reason.
Sure.
So we brought them back, you know. So like they also get a little bit of a scholarship, not as much as the winner, but. Right. I think it's $1,500.
Oh, still good.
Yeah, yeah. And then it makes our float look better when we have, you know, three princesses up there.
Starboard, just, port, and captain. Yep. Yeah, I love that. That's a good idea.
Yep. So the three ladies that, you know, get crowned, they will be just kind of walking around the car show, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies.
That's exactly right.
But you can actually trust them, unlike politicians that are doing the same thing. So yeah, they're going to be around that, and like you know, the last year's court, they recently just did this like running marathon thing. I forget what it was. I got sent pictures, but like you know, like especially last year's girls. Emma, Natalie, and Bianna, like the three of them were really good about like knowing about events that were happening in town and wanting to be there, right? After they got crowned last year, I mean, like immediately they started going on tour, going around town,
you know,
hitting up things. So yeah, definitely local celebrities.
It helps promote for the following years, that's
yep.
for sure.
Yep, that's the hope, you know?
Yep.
But, you know, we definitely want, you know, young girls signing up for it every year, and it gets down to the wire sometimes, you know, like do we have enough, you know, like enough girls signing up, you know, but and just because of social anxiety, a lot of people don't want that kind of spotlight mm-hmm. on them. They got to be very outgoing and sociable to like
yep.
want to be up on that stage.
That's right. Well, sounds like we've got a lot of fun things coming up here this week. And as we're starting to wind down on this podcast, I want to get to this age-old question that's been everywhere. It's every year comes up. Why is Steamboat Days not down by the lake like it used to be? It's downtown Winona. And you're going to answer that question here because when I grew up, that's where it was. Mm-hmm. However, it wasn't, I don't feel, as big as it is nowadays. So, Steven, you get to answer the question, why is it not down by the lake?
Well, let's start with the carnival. The big rides. That ground, because, like, I mean, it used to be a much bigger lake. Winona used to be completely an island, right? So, like, yep. we're surrounded by marshlands, lakes, rivers. So, like, the grounds down around the lake are really soft and as soon as we put those big heavy rides on there, they'll start sinking. And if it rains, which it does every year, it seems, it's just going to become a mud pit. Those rides are going to sink. And all of a sudden, they're going to have to shut down rides just because of the safety issues with that. And like the carnival, you know, they don't want to deal with having to like drag, you know, a ride that's like 3 feet stuck in the mud.
Right.
So like the rides there, right there alone, that's going to be a huge issue. Another thing is security. So with the entertainment garden up at the, you know, the Levee Circle there, we kind of have that natural barrier of that, you know, like 12-foot drop,
yep.
You know, that kind of helps create, a natural fence line that's easier for us to like monitor. Cause like we, every year we have issues of underage people trying to get in.
Sure.
So having it down at the lake, we have a lot more ground to be watching and like covering and making sure people aren't sneaking in.
Yeah. You because know? You, if it was going to be at what I would assume, if you're going to have the beer garden, it'd be at the JC Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could walk through the softball fields. You could walk through the side, the front, any which way. Really down at the lake, you only have, like you said, those stairs and probably that entrance where you can come up from the little road that goes down by the riverfront. Because really the other entrance is kind of designated for backstage for the band. So
yep.
You already got people back there kind of guarding that naturally. So there's really only two ways to get in.
Yep. Yeah. So, and like, and just because we extended the fence out last year, so like, cause like we had a problem where people would come up to the fence line, start walking down the ramp down towards the front of the steps.
Yep.
And then they'd see that's fenced off and like they'd get mad. So we pushed it out. So that whole ramp and that patch of grass right there is now part of like where we're setting up.
Sure.
Now, you had mentioned that a nice thing about it being up there is it's clean. Exactly. Another reason why
we're not a mud pit there.
Yeah. Well, not only not a mud pit, but trash. Every night when we clean up, because there's cleanup, there's beer cans and like people are bringing in all sorts of things. And it's just trash as far as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And cleanup is so much easier. Now, for people that enjoy the beauty and the natural, you know, the nature of the lake, you know, well, after Steamboat Days, it's going to be full of trash. It's going to be tore up by, you know, just the foot traffic. And that's even if it doesn't rain. If it rains, it definitely will become a mud pit.
Right.
I don't know, like, how many people have really gone to, like, some of the bigger, like, outdoor music festivals, you know, like Coachella, Lollapalooza, you know, and like some of the metal concerts that used to come around.
Woodstock.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Ozfest for, you know, the metalheads out there. You know, like if you go to those grounds, like the, you know, weeks after the festival is gone, it's a disaster.
Sure.
You know, it looks like a post-apocalyptic wasteland, you know, and like, I'm sorry, but I don't want to see that, you know, after mm-hmm. Steamboat Days is done, you know, like, you know, people will gripe about every little thing, you know, people just want to, like, I don't know if it's boredom, but people just want to find something to be, you know, upset about.
It's it's like everyone says, opinion, everyone's got one, you know, they're just like assholes. Everyone's got one. Yeah. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think where a lot of it comes from is just nostalgia, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I grew up where it was at the lake and then it went downtown. I think it came back to the lake for like a moment, maybe a couple of years. And then it went back down here, which, to be honest with you, the beauty of the river, I love the river. I'm on the river all summer long for the most part, boating. It's natural beauty to me, but I like the cleanliness part of it. I feel like it would be pretty tough, but I feel like even with the stage that you guys provide, it'd be pretty tough to put it underneath the JC Pavilion without extending it into the grassy area. Cause that stage, well, I mean, that's, I would say, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet tall. Whenever I've gone to the stage, you go there, it's a pretty big stage. It's not like tiny anymore.
Yeah. Well, and so like we used to rent a stage. We actually bought our own stage this year. All right. Just because we had some issues last year with procuring a stage. So it's 2 to 3 feet tall. We can adjust it however we want. And it's, you know, like 20 feet wide, you know, 16 feet deep,
sure.
Plus the little, you know, butt out, like that just little small section of stage that sticks out a little further, mm-hmm. plus the drum riser, you know. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a pretty big stage. I mean, the tent pretty much covers the entire circle, you know, least lengthwise. You know, we still have the section where the, you know, the beer is.
Yeah.
But, Yeah. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's a big footprint.
Yeah.
You
know? It'd get pretty messy down at the lake. I agree, especially if it rained. Yeah. That's just one more. Is there any other aspects other than those two? Are there a couple more aspects to why it's not the lake, to clear up any other confusion for
other
people?
Other than, you know, rides sinking down to the center of the earth, or, the security concerns and the cleanup and the destruction of the beautiful grass and all the trash.
Yeah, I play softball down there, and I don't really want to see that all destroyed either. But, again, it's happened. There used to be a softball tournament back in the day that was put on by Steamboat Days. Now someone started independently running one during the same week. So, but for those who are wondering, this is why it is where it's at. And you know what? Give these people a break. They are working their tails off every single year. So we can have fun for, about a week worth of celebration for Winona. So, please give people a break. They're not trying to piss on your parade just to have it downtown. Yeah. There's reasoning for this. And I got to ask you now, as we're starting to come to the end of this podcast, how is it now that we're coming up to the week before? Stressed? Not as stressed anymore because things are in place? How are you feeling?
There's still plenty of stress. Sure. Because, the weather, will everyone show up? Will everything still work?
Yes.
Every year it just feels like a chaotic mess leading up to Steamboat Days, but by some miracle, it all just seems to come together. I mean, there's things that fall through every year, but for the general public, they don't know this. They don't see it. They don't notice it. And it's just us that notice it. But as long as it's fun for everyone that shows up, everyone's entertained, it winds up being worth it.
Yeah.
All the stress and hair graying, hair pulling out. If you know, some of our board members are quite bald.
that's why.
At the end of the day, it winds up being all worth it.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of people. I know some of these people personally. They want the best of what's for Winona.
Yep.
And so they're out there. They're going to show up. They're going to do their best job that they possibly can, so everyone has a fun week, safe week as well, so we can all enjoy our Steamboat Days. Because that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Before we end this, is there any other highlights you want to highlight about Steamboat Days this week coming up that we maybe missed?
I missed flipping out our third entertainment act. Normally, we only have two.
Okay.
We have three this year flipping out. They're going to be set up as long as it's paved, right where the old Chamber of Commerce building is, right next to Levy Park, where we have the food vendors set up, so right across from the movie theater. There used to be that building. It's gravel still. I think it might be paved now. I haven't been over there.
I know what you're talking about.
Trampoline act. Should be a lot of fun. Other than that, shout out to our big sponsors, Hurry Back Production, Ashley Furniture, Merchants Bank, Miller's Scrap. We got a laundry list of you guys. So thanks to all of our sponsors. Definitely check out for those with families, young kids, the Kitty Parade, Bob and the Beachcombers, sponsored by Winona National, down at the lake at the Bandshell. Hot dog meal will be provided. Again, thanks to Winona National for that. Other than that, support downtown businesses. I think that's the biggest impact we have with us being downtown, is the effect on downtown businesses.
Yep.
So during the car show, please be respectful for the people that have their cars in the car show. Please be respectful of the downtown businesses. Don't sit your chairs right in front of their doorways. Please set off to the side, and definitely hit up the downtown businesses, show them your love and support. I mean, that's why we have the car show downtown. That's why we are having the carnival downtown. So these downtown businesses get the foot traffic. So absolutely, please, please, please support them.
Well, that's awesome, Steven. I want to thank you for coming on in, taking a brief moment out of your busy, busy schedule that's happening this coming week. And for those who are looking to find more information of events that are going on that we just discussed, again, go on WinonaSteamboatDays.com or go to their Facebook page, which I'll put in the show notes, like I said prior to that. You can click on that. You'll go through and find out all the fun things that are going on this week. My favorite thing probably will be the car show, just because I'm a car guy, as you may or may not be aware of. Yeah, there's some cars back there, yeah, by the way. Yeah. So I want to thank you one more time. And for those who are listening, please, as the TV says, like, share, subscribe, and five-star this podcast. It does help out the algorithm to bring this to the top. And if there's anything that you liked about this, share it with a friend. And if people are wondering what's going on or why it's downtown Steamboat Days, send them this and they can find out right from the president why it is where it is and why it's been there. But I want to thank you for all your hard work you put in for the Steamboat Days. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully Winona's looking forward. And thank you again for coming on in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been another edition of Brews and Cruise. Tune in next week, and we're going to give you one big cheers.